Welcome to the Mile 99 interview with your host, Jessica Harris.
Mike Turner.
And Greg Larkin.
Enjoy this episode. We'll see you on the trails.
See you out there.
See you later.
Hello again, and welcome to the Mile 99 interview. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Turner. You know, the Mile 99 is a place where we hang out with our friends or like-minded folks in our community, share our stories, our successes, our failures, our DNFs, our deepest trail secrets. I get the latest race news and what's going on in our community, find out what's happening. Greg always has a great little section on what's going on. We record in front of a live Zoom audience, no breaks, one take. And unlike what's on the trails, what's said here is on the record. So careful. I'm joined by my co-host, Jessica Harris and Greg Larkin. Greg, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging out, recovering from the weekend. Not as much as a runner, but, you know, volunteering's tough too, right? Like, you're standing out there in the sun, not moving, getting the sun on you. So running around all day on Saturday and Sunday, checking everybody out, volunteered up at Duncan Canyon. We'll get into everything this episode for sure. But it was an awesome weekend. It never fails to deliver drama and tears of joy and sometimes sadness. So super awesome. And we'll get into it. So how are you doing, Mike?
Yeah, good. You're right. I mean, you know, running is tough, but you have one job, just to move forward. But when you're out there crewing, or your family, or you got your car, you got to eat and you got to get here and there, it's stressful. You're right. It's a lot of work up all night, and you're stressful. It's definitely a long weekend for everybody involved.
For sure. How about you, Jess?
I was good. I didn't sleep very much this weekend, and I was fine Monday. I was like, slept all night. And then Tuesday it hit me. It was like a delay. So I'm feeling good today. Yesterday I was very, very tired. Went for a run today. It's cooler than it has been. It was 95 on my run versus over 100. And I think we're heading into cooler weather in the Sacramento Valley or Placer County. So pretty happy about that. We are live tonight and super thankful that everyone has been joining us. We saw so many of our Patreons over the weekend and people who have donated to our Venmo. We do have those things open right now. We have different levels for our Patreon, which gets you different access to things and shirts and stickers. Head over and check out our Patreon. If you don't want a monthly reoccurring fee, we totally get it. And we have our Venmo, which is at the Mile 99 interview. We can take one-time donations at any time. Very thankful for that. We like to thank our newest Patreon member, which is Autumn. We appreciate you so much. We have our t-shirt order, but I think we're doing a little something new, maybe for summer, a new logo. So we will make sure to update you guys once we have our something new, but we have that coming up as well. We have some community news with Greg. Greg, fill us in. What's going on?
Yeah, for sure. So we'll focus on non-Western state stuff here for a minute, but then we'll get back into it big time. You know, TRT, we've been talking about this for several weeks now. It's kind of the next big thing on the calendar for a lot of people. You're going to be up on the Tahoe Rim Trail. George, the race director, puts on an amazing event. You know, a lot of us have already done it. We're always looking forward to see what happens this year. It's a new course the last couple of years, and they can always use volunteers, any race, really. So please give Katie Bell an email at trtvolunteer@gmail.com. Check out their main website, trter.com as well. See if you can join in. There's so many great places, so many iconic spots up there on the trail to help out with. And Donner Party Mountain Runners, our friends up there in Truckee, they'll be captaining one of the aid stations. So maybe get in touch with them, see what they need. That would be super helpful, and a great group of people up there. We've talked to them many times. We love those folks. So we've got tons of races coming up. Again, I think I mentioned last time, you know, we're in the thick of it. So we've got the Big Chief 50K. I'm still eyeing this one. I think that's on Tevis weekend, actually. It's on the 17th of July. It's all up around the North Star Resort, Truckee, Lake Tahoe, out there, Mount Pluto, some amazing trails out there. Definitely check that one out. DPMR, we've mentioned they've got the Point Moriah Trail Marathon on August 6th. Great new race. Check it out. I'm sure they'd love the support. See the community turn out for that one. And hopefully that becomes like a yearly thing. We've got the Rodeo Valley 50K on the same day. If you're heading more down towards the coast, Marin area with Inside Trail. That's a big day in NorCal Ultra's Twilight Trail Adventure. Also that same day, if you're into the nighttime running thing, which some of you may want to try out for the first time, try that out. Like if you've never done a night race or you've never really gotten into night running, what a great way. Pair up with somebody, kind of go out. You've got a marked course, a supported course, and try it out.
I think that's really good nighttime prep for Rio too.
Yeah. You're going to be on the similar trails. And just get an idea, like what's your footing like, what's the lighting system situation. It pays to practice a little bit of that. You don't want to go into any type of race that has a nighttime section without a little bit of practice. And this is a great way to do it. Jess is going to be at the Waldo 100K. So I've been talking to some people about that too, the last couple of days. I got to sign up for that race. That sounds like a real kicker. Some pretty challenging stuff. Serious long downhill, I guess, at the very end, like so long, you're just ready to stop running downhill. Is that the piece?
I wouldn't know because I DNF'd last year. But I'll let you know. I'll fill you in this year when I finish.
You'll definitely know this year.
I swept the course and there was this, you get to this giant peak at the end and it's so windy and cold and it's just this really long downhill, but it's beautiful woods and lakes and it's just such a beautiful course. That's so different than we have here.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's cool. You know, just try to get out of the comfort zone, get into a different part of the country. You know, it's still drivable, I think. So, you know, it's not how far away is that? Like eight hour drive? I don't know. It's under 24 hours, so it's totally fine. So then we got the inside trail again, the Santa Cruz 10 through 30K races, August 27th. And then She Rocks the Trails. This one's been around for a while. I hadn't heard about it. And I don't know if they just kind of kicked it back up going again this year. I'll have to check that. I know several people have run that over the last few years. And that's in September, on September 3rd. So lots of exciting stuff. There's all distances available. And then, you know, we start thinking about the 100 miler or Rio del Lago. I mean, that's the big one later this year. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that as we go. So that's pretty much it for community. And Jess.
Well, and I know there's so many races happening and we can't run them all. So our message to everyone who's not running a race is to volunteer. I think that's the best thing that we can do is constantly give back to each other. So if one of these races is close to you, or you can take the kids out. I'm a big proponent of taking kids out. Go ahead and message the RDs or contact us and we can help you get to the correct RD to make sure that you are volunteering with us.
Oh yeah, for real. And there were some kids up at Duncan Canyon this weekend, you know, running around, playing in the dirt and just having a great time. You know, they're out in nature. They have to walk in, you know, it wasn't like just drop them off and go. Like they had to walk in like a quarter mile. So, I mean, it was legit and it's great to get kids out in that environment for sure. So thanks everyone. That's what we have. And Mike, off to you.
Awesome. Yeah. So many things to do. And it was so many kids out in Western States this weekend, running around, watching their parents suffer. It's pretty cool. So the 49th Western States Endurance Run is in the books, and what an event it was. It was so great. With Ruth Cropp of New Zealand taking the top spot in the women's race in a time of 17:21:30. I watched her after interview with those guys, and it was great just to hear her story and hear where she's from and hear, you know, all the what she had to say. And also a shout out, we also had in the men's division Adam Peterman, which was on the show a couple of times, which is pretty cool, taking the top spot on his first time 100 miler. That's pretty crazy. Some local runners, Adam Kimball and Cole Watson, landed in the top 20 males. Also, Amber Weeble landed in the top 20 female. She's up in the Tahoe area. And also, it's just a special congratulations to all of our friends who towed the line this weekend. So awesome. Many of them here as well in the audience, which is pretty cool. So tonight's show is a tribute to all the runners, the crew, the pacers, the families, the volunteers, and their friends who all made this a magical weekend and made it so special. We wanted to share their stories as well as our own. And while we were all cruising around volunteering and pacing, Greg was busy as the man on the trails, interviewing people, whoever he could find. Tonight, he has a great collection of stories and interviews from people he just out running around. So we also are joined by some very special guests who ran this weekend as well. So Greg, what do you have for us?
Yeah, so let me cue it up here a little bit. In fact, one of the people that you're about to hear is on the call. Hey, Chloe. So we got up to Duncan Canyon. I got up in the morning. I decided not to camp for some reason. So I got up 4:45, got out there, started leaving the house at 5, got there at 7. Long ride out to Mosquito Ridge Road and all that. And we set everything up and it was about 8 o'clock and we were still waiting for runners. So I thought, you know what, this is a great time. All the crew's here. Let me just wander around and start talking to people and see what's going on. And I think the first group I saw was Chloe, her husband, and their friend Dirk. So let me play you a little clip. Here we have their runner, Cole Watson. You may recognize him.
Hey, everybody. This is Greg Larkin, one of your co-hosts from the Mile 99 podcast. I'm out here today volunteering with the Quicksilver Running Club. I'm up at the Duncan Canyon aid station, just wandering around, waiting for some people to come in. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm just here talking to Chloe and her husband and their friend Dirk. And so what's going on today, Chloe? Who are you waiting for?
We are waiting on Cole Watson, number 44. It's a beautiful day. We think he's going to do great. We can't wait to see him out here at Duncan.
Oh, fantastic. We've actually interviewed his wife, Jocelyn, on the podcast. So yeah, Cole's one of our local guys. He's sponsored by Hoka. We have high hopes for him. I'm sure we're all going to be really interested to see him coming in.
All right. We have more. And we kind of edited it down, but what we're planning on doing is taking all those clips, not just the ones you're going to hear tonight, but a few others that I also have, and put together kind of like a little off week show for everyone, little mini episodes. I'll be looking for that next week. So Cole, great run, 16th overall, sub 18 hour at 17:56:22. Chloe, would you like to speak on the rest of your day and how everything went, if you'd like to?
Thank you for the shout out, Greg. That was awesome.
You bet.
Yeah. So Cole was absolutely phenomenal. I've never crewed someone who is that speed, I guess. Typically it's like people of my level, you know, like the mid packers and people who are out there like finishing the next morning. So it was really great and really cool to see how dialed in he was every time that we saw him. Like, he was so calm and collected and cool. And like had his plan. It was very simple. He was very simple, which was really, really nice. He had asked for, well, I had asked him if there was any like magical thing that I could bring him on race day, because mine was Awful Annie's waffles and my mom brought me Awful Annie's waffles at Michigan Bluff. So I was like, what do you want, Cole? Because we'll make it happen. He wanted chicken McNuggets. So we brought him those in Forest Hill and he was so stoked to have those. At one point I was switching out his water bottles and I looked over and I saw my husband, Greg, with the box of chicken nuggets, and Cole is just grabbing them and shoving them into his, I think they're called the naked packs, his waistband. And he's just shoving straight up chicken nuggets into his waistband. So that was hilarious. And then Jocelyn and Brian booked it down to the river, where I think Cole had a moment. Just a very brief moment where he was like, what am I doing? And then very quickly, Jocelyn and everyone got him, you know, back together, and he ran to Pointed Rocks. We saw him there and we were like, in and out, get out of here and we'll see you at the finish. And it was the best day for him. So yeah, shout out to the local people and shout out to Cole Watson for an absolutely incredible day.
Well, and for him to only have like one notable moment, there's many racers who every aid station, they have a moment. So I love that human side. I love that story that, yeah, he just had a little moment. And I think that's the stories that we all really gravitate towards, is where like, it's so human. It's not a Walmsley experience where they're just running and there's nothing that happens. That really human, like, yeah, what am I doing here? This is a really long time. This is 70 something miles into a race. What am I doing here? And then pushed on and have a finish like that. Thank you so much, Chloe, for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that like the sport is changing a little bit in that aspect of the elite runners who previously, you know, years ago, you'd kind of see top 10 moving through Forest Hill and then they would like drop out because they weren't top 10 anymore. And I think it's huge that people like, you know, people like Cole, people like Tim Tollefson, like all these people like Casey and Megan and all of these elite people just are like, you know what, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to finish. So it's really great to see. I think the sport is changing in a positive direction for them.
Such a great observation. Yeah. It's really nice to see that, you know, just gut it out, let's get it done. And they did. So fantastic. And thanks a lot for chatting with me up there. It was a great day. Yeah, we're super happy for Cole and to see where he goes next. So Jess, where were you? What were you doing all day? I know you've got somebody here that you were talking to a little bit during the race.
Was Friday night, our good friend Taylor let me borrow his camping van. I unexpectedly had all four of my kids. Western States weekend is usually not a weekend I have my kids. And I was lucky enough to have all four of them. And this is my second year volunteering at Robinson Flat with Paulo and the aid station and the single track crew. And it's just a really good time. We get there Friday between 5 and 7. We all bring a potluck item. There's a beer mile. This is my second year doing it. I won these glasses because I was the first female. Barfed a little bit. Luckily, my co-parent was with me. So don't worry, I wasn't like drunk with my kids around. My co-parent was there to take the parenting duties. We went to sleep. A little bit. I did not sleep much because 4 beers in 10 minutes will do things to your body. Then we get up at about 5 a.m. at Robinson. Start time setting up at 6 a.m. And we are ready for the first runner at about 8:30, even though the first runner usually comes about an hour after that. And me and my co-parent, Nick, and one other volunteer and my 4 kids all did inbound timing. So that is just like my wheelhouses because you really get to see the runners. We're about a quarter mile away from the aid station, making sure bib numbers. My girls are old enough where they were able to run the numbers up to radio every 15 minutes. My little ones took very long stroller naps, like 5 or 6 hours sleeping in the sun. And after that, I went to Forest Hill. Lucky enough, that's kind of like a meeting ground. I feel like all the aid stations above Forest Hill, when they wrap up, they go to Forest Hill. And so you see a lot of people. I had to check in to get my pacer bib because I was pacing. Former guest of the Mile 99 interview, Dave Hope, who's on that call tonight. So I was tracking him. And when he came into Robinson, he was so, oh man, I love our locals. And I said it all day. So many of our locals came in about an hour before cutoff, but they came in cool and calm and collected. So, and he was one of them. And he came in and he said, oh, I have 2 things to tell you. I need you to bring me a light at Bath Road. He's like, no problem. I got you. And then he's like, we're going to the aid station. Then he says, oh, I need one more thing, but never mind. And I was like, what is it? And he goes, I want a Mountain Dew. And I was like, okay, I can totally do that. So once I got to Forest Hill, I obviously had to go get a Mountain Dew, talked with his wife a little bit because she helped me charge my phone. And then I went and met Dave, paced Dave. This seems like a very long story, but and then I paced Dave from Forest Hill to the river. I've never laughed so hard pacing someone in my entire life. It was 5 hours of pure joy, like tears coming down my face, laughing so hard. When I finished, I was physically so tired from laughing. Like my core was like, is still sore from like so many moments that me and Dave, we know we can't ever say them again because it's not going to be funny to anyone else, but we were laughing. After that, I took the shuttle up to Driver's Flat where Nick had my kids sleeping. That was about 3 a.m. We went back to Forest Hill to get Nick's car. Then we drove down to Placer and I slept for about an hour while Nick went and met Megan Canfield to run her in. She was about a 25 and a half hour finish. So I slept for an hour And then I got up, got my kids dressed, took a Crystal Geyser gallon shower on the street in Auburn because I was so gross, and then changed clothes, headed to Roby with my co-parent and all four kids. And I met Super Speed Dave coming into Roby. And you know what? I swore to him. I told him, no one runs Roby. When you get to Roby, take your moment. You're already there, unless you're like very close to cutoff, which he was not. And he came in so hot. I was wearing like Birkenstocks. Like I was wearing sandals because I thought we were going to walk. No. 9 minute mile all the way to the school, stopping to get a beer and, you know, shake some hands, kiss some babies. And then he rounded the track at 28:18, something like that. Anyways, impressive time. And then we sat and watched the golden hour for the next hour and 45 minutes, watched our friends come in. That was, and then I went home and had a lot of Taco Bell and slept until Monday. So that was my weekend. It seems like one long day. I think I slept 4.5 hours from Friday to Sunday. So kind of like a runner, but man, it takes a toll on you. I know the runners are going through a lot, but us crew and volunteers go through some stuff too. Where were you, Mike?
Actually, before we go there, I want to hear from Dave. So Dave, it sounds like you guys were just having a blast. I mean, you know, a lot of us pace people and it's just like, it's a struggle. It's a suffer fest for hours, but it sounded like it was like a normal fun run for you guys, huh?
Mike, I can't tell you how much fun I had. It was unbelievable. Okay. This is number 8 for my 100 milers. And it was the most fun I've ever had. It's the only 100 miler I've ever had that goes perfectly according to plan. My plan was to walk the uphills and run everything else. And I'll be damned if I didn't do just that the entire time. It was perfect. Running with Jessica out of Forest Hill lit me up. I was so excited. We're just having fun. Just like she said, she did a perfect summary of our run. It was just the entire way was a party. We were having fun. We were laughing all the way. And I never had a down moment except for when I bit the dust. Other than that, I was like enjoying it and having fun the entire time. Then I crossed the river and Sandy Baker met me on this side of Ruck. And we crossed the river together and then ran it in. Same thing. Just had a super great time. Kept running everything that was flat or down, walking the ups. I never got tired. I never wanted to walk. It was unbelievable. And then once we crossed No Hands with 3 miles to go, I was like, man, we got to go. We got to tear this thing up. And my legs were good. And I started running. I ran the entire thing. And I honestly can't tell you how that was done. I was in shock the entire time I was running. I grabbed a beer, like Jess said. Somebody was standing on the side of the road offering beers to runners. I stopped, thumbed through his cooler full of ice and beers, and I picked out the one that I wanted. And I grabbed it and took off, and I was cheering the crowd as they were cheering us on. And yeah, I can't tell you, man. I hit that track. Unbelievable. Families there, and we just had a great time.
It was Casey Parks who volunteered with us at Robinson. Yeah. And then just, you know, those people just show up at Robinson and, or at Roby. And, I didn't think Dave was, he was running very quickly. I didn't think he was going to stop. But every turn Dave surprised me. I was like, oh, his, you know, after 2 miles, after you leave Cal, after you leave Cal 2, it's that downhill. Sometimes quads hurt, nothing. He flew down, Cal 2, literally it was on autopilot. Every slight incline, I was like, oh, he's probably not going to run this. This is maybe not technically an uphill. Nope, uphill. He was hiking it and then down. I mean, it was just incredible. So thank you, Dave, for letting me enjoy that with you.
Thank you, Jess, for being with me there doing that.
No stomach, no foot problems, no chafing. I mean, It's just like you just had 100 miles of just running at home with your friends.
That's exactly what it was. Wow. Yeah, it was an unbelievably perfect day. I just had a great time.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was trying to give him mile like updates I was like, oh, it's like a mile to Cal 2. And he would turn around and he would point to the Forest Hill that's on his shirt. And he's like, do you know who I am? I was like, never mind. Sorry. Yeah. You don't need anything from me. And at one point I was like, why am I even here? But because he would have been fine without me. But no one would have laughed at his jokes if I wasn't there. So
true. For sure. Well, thanks a lot. That, yeah, I mean, just we saw bits and pieces of everyone kind of coming and going throughout all these days. And one person that I saw up at Duncan was just briefly Tina, who's on the call here. And so Tina, I was going to ask you to unmute if you would just mind popping in and just saying a few words about your race. How'd you do and how did it feel out there? Second time running, I think. Is that right?
It was. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did it in 2015, you know, before kids, before chaos. I had all the time in the world to train. Now I have kids, so it's a little bit more difficult. But I still had a really great time. It was hilarious. I saw Greg out at Duncan and I'm just kind of focused doing my thing, you know, looking at the aid station spread, not looking forward to the Duncan climb. And Greg comes up and he goes, Hey Tina, I'm Greg Larkin. I'm like, I know you're Greg Larkin.
Yeah. I don't know why. I felt like I had to introduce myself to everybody I talked to out there. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was just pretty hilarious. So after that, I hit a pretty good wall coming out of Duncan. It was so hot, so miserable. But I knew my crew was going to be up at Robinson, and Jess, I knew she was going to be there and she would kind of turn things around for me a little bit. So, yeah. And after that, I had a really pretty good run. I can't really complain. I had feet problems, chafing issues, stomach problems. I couldn't really eat till mile 80. But you know what? It was all worth it. I had a great time. My goal was to get to my kids and see them coming up out of Roby, and I wanted to just enjoy that last mile with them, and that's exactly what we did. So it was really awesome.
What's up with your feet, Tina? We saw the pictures.
Yeah, I got some pretty gnarly blisters. They're actually looking a lot better now, but my feet were wet pretty much the whole time. I never have feet problems. So I got trench foot probably at about mile 50, and it just felt like I was just like walking on glass. Running on glass. It was horrible. So I got to Michigan Bluff and they taped my feet and things started to feel a lot better after that. They still hurt with every step, but the tape really helped. And then I ended up getting blisters on the sides of my heel. Then pretty much the whole entire bottom of both heels was complete blister. It was just a huge pus bubble of blister. It was disgusting. Yes.
Yeah, Tina, that's foot problems are crazy. You must have met Tanya and her team there because we're going to have her on the show to talk about foot care. So you must have met Tanya and her team, but foot problems, man, they can really, they're tough to handle and they just show up. It's rough.
They do. Out of nowhere. I was totally shocked. I never have problems. So yeah, they took really good care of my feet up there. It was amazing.
Do you think that because you're managing the heat, right? So you're constantly wet because there's, I think the Western States report came out, there's 83 pounds of ice per runner. Every right. runner we saw was constantly wet. Do you think it's unavoidable at some point, your feet getting wet with all that ice?
I don't think it's avoidable. I mean, you're bending over, people are pouring water on your head. You're not even really caring. You just want to cool down. I didn't care. And I didn't think about it. I really didn't think it was going to make me have that bad of feet issues later. Next time, I might care a little bit more and maybe step my feet back a little bit more, but you live and you learn, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a constant process. And you know, you mentioned just some of the challenges that you faced kind of this time versus earlier, you know, pre-children, pre-chaos and all of that. And we just want to take a minute here just to kind of talk about that because, you know, trail runners, we're people. We struggle from time to time. We have to balance our life, our work, our family, and all of that. And, you know, what we're trying to do is keep that balance, but sometimes we need a little bit more help. And that's why the Mile 99 interview has teamed up with a company called BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
As you know, we all, like we say, we struggle from time to time. And sometimes you're having trouble sleeping or difficulty in a relationship. With me, I've been out away from the show for a couple of weeks. I had a loss in the family and just been feeling stressed out and irritable and need the miles and need to run. But, you know, sometimes the miles aren't enough, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're in a tough spot, BetterHelp is here. It's a company. They want to help you.
They have licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help.
And you get to talk to a therapist in a private online environment at your convenience.
They have a broad range of BetterHelp's 20,000 therapist network that can even anything you need in your area.
So all you have to do to get started is fill out a questionnaire. They assess your specific needs, get you matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Very quick process.
Yep. Then you can schedule your secure video session or phone session and plus exchange unlimited messages with your person. I've been working with a guy named Tim over there, a therapist. He's helped me with this loss and I'm learning a bunch of new skills, which is helpful.
So we would love it if you would join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist.
Special offer to our listeners, my online listeners, 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. The address is betterhelp.com/themile99.
That's betterhelp.com/themile99. And thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. Thanks, everyone. We feel like that's a really important thing for all of us to maintain balance out there. As Mike said, you know, running is great. Sometimes it's not enough. So think about that. So what I'd like to do right now is switch gears before we continue talking to some of our other people on the call that were in Western states and were around Western states this weekend. This is somebody who I think all of us should know. If you don't already, I'll set it up a little bit. This gentleman last ran the race in 1983, and in 1983, he won the race. That was his last time at Western States. He returned this year at the age of 67 in his bid to come back to the race and do his absolute best to get to the finish line. So I want to play this clip for you right now. I had the opportunity to speak to a crew member of his who is also a legend in ultra running. You may recognize the name Bill Finkbeiner. He's a Leadville 100 Ultra race legend, and he was out crewing for Jim Howard. So let me play that clip for you right now.
And I'm wandering around talking to some crew members, and we have Bill Finkbeiner here who is crewing for one of the former winners, Jim Howard. And Bill, how are things going today? How do you think it's going to go for Jim?
Oh, I think it's good. He's got a good attitude and he's dedicated to his training. So, working hard at it all year. He went through a few sciatic issues and whatnot early in the season, but ran canyons and, you know, he definitely knows what to do. His last finish was in 1983, which he won. But I just hope the heat doesn't get too tough for everybody.
Absolutely a hot day out here. If anybody's familiar, yeah, we're going to have temperatures over 100. It's going to be a tough day for everyone. But as you said, I mean, experience is on his side.
So what happened to Jim Howard? Well, Jim did not officially finish the race in under 30 hours, but he came in just afterwards. He completed the entire distance of the race after returning after so many years. And we congratulate him. We congratulate his crew and his pacers. This is the kind of story that inspires us. It shows you the absolute human spirit at its best, being able to persist for that long to come onto the track and get the job done. So congratulations, Jim, and everyone associated with his effort that day.
I went to the international barbecue that Bob Crowley organizes, and I got to sit right across from Jim Howard and also this other guy named Dick from the United Kingdom, and we were all chatting, and Jim was giving us some just his tips, you know, and how he handles heat. It's just great to listen to Jim and all his knowledge, and just it was so amazing just to hear all that experience, and to pick up anything would be great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about this sport. I think many of us can speak to this idea of us finding a mentor, somebody who's been around for that long and just kind of knows the ropes. And if you're just starting out in the sport, you're listening to us on the podcast at some point later, and you're just interested, find somebody with that type of wealth of knowledge and just absorb, because that's what a lot of us have done. And that's how we get, you know, through the sport and learn more and more. So we have additional people, but we're going to get to them. And first, we want to talk to Mike and see what he was up to all weekend. Quite a few things, if I understand.
Yeah, I was hanging out with the Sierra Trailblazers, which is a club in Nevada County, one of the oldest trail clubs. It started in 1978. They've been manning Michigan Bluff since the 80s. So an old trail club, but they have a lot of new people and they're kind of trying to get the club revived and up to speed. So they had a lot of new people at the aid station, kind of first timers figuring out, but it was a great, worked out great. Then everything went smooth and everyone had a great time. So I was there in the morning and getting set up and it was nice. And then I recently got my ham radio license, which was pretty exciting. And it was tough going back to school. I remember, you know, formulas and it was tough after 20 years of being out of school to remember all those things. But I got that and I worked overnight in net control, which was pretty cool to kind of experience the behind the scenes and calls coming in from medical and from aid stations and patching information through to the RD. And it was pretty exciting being in net control.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I'm really interested in the whole technology behind the race, as you know, you may guess. So it's always cool to hear about that stuff, the live stream and all kinds of things.
At Robinson, we had the Star, what is it, Greg?
Starlink. The Starlink.
Oh, yeah.
So they had three of them and they were rotating them out. So they had this whole plan. And so I got to see that set up. I think you would have totally loved it to make sure that the live streaming was accessible at all times. Super cool what they're doing, because it's like satellites, Musk satellites or something. Anyways, it was very cool. And I think it speaks to what we talk about all the time, which is community. And not everyone can be at all these races, right? But you sure as heck can watch them and get so much more out of the race having as much connectivity as it does now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a cool story that I got. So there was a guy headed up to Dusty Corners to set up a crossband repeater on Friday morning. And his truck got stuck in a ditch and he was blocking the road. So the aid station crew couldn't get in. So some guy named Jeff, K6BSY, heard the call on the ham radio. He was in Carmichael, got his Jeep, went up to Dusty Corners, towed the guy out of the ditch and went back home. So he, ham operator, just out of Carmichael.
No affiliation with the race.
No, just a ham operator. Just so he knows. He spent the entire day to get the guy out. And so it shows you that ham people are, they're like trail runners. It's just a good community of people.
Well, I wonder if it's common knowledge or not. I mean, ham radio operators are really critical in times of disasters. And I mean, yes, this is a small thing in a race, you know, great that they help, but also think about the fact that like when infrastructure goes down, a lot of the time the ham radio operators are the ones who can continue communicating, connecting people with emergency resources and all sorts of things. So it's really like a critical part of our country's, you know, disaster preparedness when you think about it. And this was an example of somebody just kind of listening in and somebody needs help, let's go do it. So I love that story. It's fantastic. We're going to go to a couple more runners here that were in the race. I've got one addition. I've got two more clips. I was thinking this might be a good time to throw this one in here. We were just talking about kind of, you know, people just, you know, watching on the live stream who maybe didn't have access to the race or aren't racers, don't even have a, you know, anybody that they know in the race. And this seems to be kind of a common thing. I was at at Duncan Canyon. I was just wandering around. I went up to somebody, a young guy, and he was just there for the show. So let's hear his clip. His name is Jared. Little view here of Duncan Canyon, down to the French Meadows.
Yeah, we've got Jared here. He's out spectating. And so what's going on today, Jared?
I'm just checking out the course. I've been out here 5 years and I've been Robinson Flat the last couple. So thought I'd mix it up, hit Duncan Canyon, see something new. This is some beautiful high country out here. Nice little vibe going, and it's going to be a hot one today.
So what are your aspirations for this race or any other race? Do you have any?
I think it's just the energy and the camaraderie of the trail community and just being out here and among it. Just to use a ubiquitous word in my vocabulary is it fuels the stoke. And so just sharing that with other people and seeing the variety of runners that come through every ability and from the golden hour to the front of the pack, it's just fun to see.
Couldn't say it much better right there. I think he captured it. You know, it fuels the stoke. I don't know. I mean, I would hazard a guess anyone listening to our voices right now, whether it's live or later, if you had anything to do with Western States, you come out of that weekend fired up. You just want to start running hard. So Jared's out there. He's checking out different aid stations, just trying to get a sense of the community and all the people and all the excitement. So I was really happy to hear him say that. So next up, I wanted to switch over to Beth. Beth is on the show here with us. Beth Lang, how are you doing? How was your day, Beth?
My day was actually really good. A few issues, but overall really, really good. I couldn't have imagined a more perfect day, honestly.
So take us through, like, who was your crew? I think I saw them out there at Forest Hill. What were their responsibilities? Where did people meet you and all that?
So I had Dave Lent as my crew and Allison Goulart, and they were easy to spot with the big Tom Brady t-shirts on, the teal Tom Brady t-shirts on. Tom Brady doesn't have a buckle. And my pacers were Veronica from Michigan Bluff, Veronica Runyon. And then I had Sherry Winter from Forest Hill she crossed the river with me, which was definitely a highlight. That was a blast. And then I had my husband. He's always the closer. He ran me in from Green Gate to the end.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So, I mean, what did it feel like? This is your first time running the race, correct?
Yes, first time running. But I've been there, you know, for many, many years, just sweeping or spectating or pacing. So it felt kind of surreal to be there actually running it myself. It was very strange.
So tell me what the difference is when you run onto the track as a runner with a number pinned.
Honestly, it's like a blur. It just went by so fast. You know, it seems like it's slow motion when all your friends are coming in and you're all excited and you're like, you know, watching it. When you're actually on the track, it just, you know, just goes by so fast.
And then talk to us just as you know, being on the inside of the race at that point as a runner, what happens immediately after the finish line? You know, what's the process? Is there anything, or is it just kind of like, I'm done, now what? Just like any other race, or is there some more ceremony going on at that point?
No, it was kind of like find some shade and like lay down somewhere. It was so hot. I didn't feel the heat as much during the race. Like, I managed to stay really cool, lots of ice and everything, but right after the race, the sun was just beating down and I just wanted to get shade and hang out with my friends. So we found a little corner of shade from one of the Hoka tents and just hung out and had something to eat and laid down. It was awesome. Yeah. Lots of hugs, of course, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you hung out for the buckle ceremony. I'm guessing you can't miss that.
Yeah. That was great too. Yeah.
So, were there any moments during the race where you kind of linked up with anybody else running or something, shared some miles, or was it kind of like a solo thing?
Yeah. So coming into Duncan Canyon, my friend Jerry Suo, like, he always bombs the downhill. So he caught up with me coming down into Duncan and I said, just go, you know, I'll catch you. And so from there on to all the way to Forest Hill, we were pretty much worked together. Same thing. He would like run down the hill faster and then I would slowly catch him on the climbs, and we would just like complain about the climbs, of course. And we just leapfrogged the whole time. We got into Michigan Bluff at 7:55 and it was perfect timing because Veronica was waiting there and she paced both of us into Forest Hill. And there he picked up his pacer, I picked up mine. His pacer happened to be Sherry, my pacer's husband, so Jason Winter paced Jerry. And and so we kind of did our own thing after that. But we also ran with Shavi quite a bit from kind of the same area. I guess Dusty Corners. Yeah, it was later. It was Dusty Corners all the way to Devil's Thumb, I guess. Mm. So yeah, it was some friends out there because we'd done some training runs together. So yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, congratulations from the Mile 99 crew. And this sounds all very, very lovely, but we have your crew on here. So, David, dish it. Tell us the real deal. Any low points or what was your favorite moment?
Well, you know, just seeing her finish, I think there was a moment there when you reached the Mile 99 sign and there was a whole group of people cheering there. And that's when I really started to get teary and choke. And I'm like, well, crap, I still have to run another mile. I better not cry now. I got to wait. So, but the emotion of she's finishing this, she did it. And I knew what a big special moment that was going to be. And not just, and seeing everybody, seeing all my friends, seeing Dave come through, seeing.
The only person that I cried with during was when I was sitting on the back with Dave Hope and I saw Tina come in and I saw her like lift up Coulter a little bit more, like that mom throw him on your hip a little bit more. And it hit me so hard. And I just start sobbing. I had my Western Days glasses on, so I was covered up a little bit, but that really got me that moment, Tina. I saw you pull on mom duty and yeah, that was that was really special for me. So thank you for doing that. But I think finishing that, the Roby vibe, I've never, the year before that I was around sub 24 times. So it was very dark. So I've never seen it in the production that it was from, you know, hour 28 to the finish. And it gets, I mean, that's the place to be. That is a really place, good place to be. And usually Tim Tweetmeyer, or Bob Crowley runs the last runner in. So there's just like this big mob. It was like the streets closed and it's such a party.
So it sounds like a great day, Beth. How's the recovery going so far?
It's actually pretty good. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. My legs were good the whole time. The worst part is the chafing. I did have some chafing. I had my hydration pack break like 2 weeks before the race. So I had a borrowed hydration pack. Thank you, Sherry. And I wasn't fitted very well. So I have some major chafing due to that. But other than that, I feel pretty decent. I'm thankful.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can definitely, I was near the medical tent with the foot care, Tanya, who we'll have on in the next few weeks, and saw her at work. There were some rough stories in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Well, I've got one more clip here. I was wandering around Forest Hill, just kind of checking things out, had done the volunteering job for the day. And I happened upon Nick Triolo, who is an editor at Trail Running Magazine. He had some excellent insights. His clip was longer. It was about 5 minutes. And so I took it down a little bit just to give you a little intro capsule summary, but this for sure will be released in a longer form next week so we can hear more of what he has to say. But he had some really nice observations just in a short period of time. So let me play that for you before we continue on. Give me 1 second to set that right up. All right, here we go. Lovely picture supplied by Jessica of the Placer Track with all of our great friends and family members right there. And here's Nick.
And I have just run into
Nick Triolo.
Nick Triolo, yes. And you are?
The online editor for Trail Runner Magazine.
Perfect. All right. Well, I know a lot of our listeners are very familiar with the magazine and everything. And he is waiting for his editor-in-chief, if I believe correctly. And let's just see if this clapping indicates her coming in.
Nope.
Not her? Okay, all right. But he may have to run if she does while we're chatting here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're basically out here supporting her. Is that the whole idea?
I'm here supporting her and also covering the race for the magazine.
Yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of social media, which I'm not adept at, and also going to write a longer form piece in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, this is my 10th anniversary. I ran it 10 years ago today.
Oh my goodness. So congratulations.
Thank you. It's been really cool to see the evolution of the sport. Also just to see, I saw one of my best friends, Yassine Daboon, who you should have on this.
Yeah.
He's wonderful.
Familiar with the name.
And I asked him what his number one, give me a word that describes this, the essence of this place and its community.
And there you have it, straight from Nick. What is the essence of this race and larger thing, this sport? Community. And that's what we're here for. That's why we started this podcast and this interview series, is the community, keeping the community together. And he crystallized it in that one word. I did not prompt him, by the way. And then he went on to speak on Adam Peterman and Missoula, Montana, and a host of other topics that we'll get out and publish to you next week. Great guy. Looking forward to connecting with him again. And it was really gracious of him to spend a minute while he was darting our eyes around waiting for his runner and literally was ready to break off at any second to go help her onward. So Really awesome experience out there in Forest Hill, just wandering around and chatting with people. So next up on the call, we have Randy. And Randy, you ran the race as well. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you popping in. Tell us about your day.
My day was very long. I'm going to say I got every dollar of my entry fee out of the race this year. Felt pretty good. Everybody knows it was warm. I think I was a little conservative at the beginning. We were out, ran with Dave for quite a few miles at the start. So that was super cool hanging out with him. But yeah, just a long day out there. We got to really to Green Gate, and I was probably 20, 30 minutes behind the 30 hour pace. So we knew we had to make up a bunch of time, but love all that stretch through ALT. And so we just started bombing as fast as we could. And then we got down to No Hands. We saw a Tweetmeyer down there and started the climb up. And mainly the big goal for me, this was the 10 year anniversary. It was a very special race for me this year. I had done it in 2012, the year that my police canine partner got shot. And so he ran the last lap with me that year. Since then, had cancer. Right now I'm just over a year free. So this was a very special, like, emotional race just for myself and the crew and just getting to that finish line. My daughter had run in 2012, just the last lap around the track with me. And this year she was pacing me. And so just had to get up to Roby to get to her. And she was no joke. She is 17 now, but she threw down and just said, let's go. And we had just around 30 minutes to get those last couple miles in. And I was doing trail math, which I always tell everybody not to do, and didn't think there was any way we were going to make it because I was doing 20 minute miles, but definitely we pushed and we got there. We made it to the white bridge and we're coming down that hill. And I looked at my watch and I'm like, hey, we've got some time. Let's walk this in. And all day I had wanted it to be there at the track. And then, that last little bit, I had my wife on one side and my daughter on the other, and just a huge crowd that had formed, friends and my crew and family that had come out, and total strangers that had come out. And we just walked into the gate and we just walked that last lap. And then we got to the straightaway and my daughter wouldn't let me walk anymore. And she's like, come on, it's a little embarrassing. You can't walk across the finish line. So we pushed, but you've spent all day wanting to get to that finish line, and then you don't want it to end because, as we know, it's, hard to get back in. So just an epic day. It was long and hot and painful, but made it through. And so very happy, feel really blessed just to be alive and to have been able to be out there.
Well, and I think we saw like a record number of golden hour finishers. The name of the game, I feel like I saw it from Robinson, was be conservative and get to that finish line. And I think a lot of people did that and it paid off. It was great seeing your journey, but let's talk about Green Gate a little bit. Being behind cutoff is really scary. How do you get the mental fortitude that many miles in to keep going? And was it just a pacer thing? Did you have something inside of you that said, like, sometimes you physically can't go faster. So how did you make up that time?
It's truly, A is great pacers. And then B is just knowing, hey, run each mile that you're in. And I always tell everybody that, who's like talking about how can you run that far? And you say, you run 1 mile at a time. And that's all we did. And I had switch pacers right there at Green Gate. And Sonny, my first pacer, was just awesome getting me there, getting me across the river. And my cancer was testicular cancer. I've only got one testicle and it was real small when I came out of that cold water. And so that made me want to move to warm up. So that was huge. So we wanted to warm. And, I know earlier somebody was talking about trench foot. You're just soaked the entire day and cold. So, the faster you can run and stay warm, the better. But when I picked up my second pacer, Rodney, He was just pushing. He's a real silent encourager. And he had set up, he had people, him and his wife and my wife had people calling in and leaving audio messages on the iPhone that he could play for me while we were running. And holy crap, there was a lot of people like really depending on me to get to that finish line. I was depending on myself. And I knew that I was picking up my daughter at Roby. So that to me, you don't want to look like a quitter in front of your kids. And so that was a huge amount of motivation just to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And, you know, everything we were doing was trying to stay between 3 and 4 mile an hour pace and just get it done. And you just have to find whatever's going to motivate you. And it is, I mean, it's painful, and it was the worst like dark place I've ever been in 100. This is my 10th 100 miler. And you just suck it up and dig deep and try and make it.
Wow. What a way to end the show. That is, you actually reached out to the show, which we always appreciate. There's a lot of stories going on. Sometimes we miss things and we want to make sure we highlight all our community members. So Randy, thank you so much for making sure that we hear your story. It's an important one because you're part of the community. Thank you so much. Congratulations. I hope you don't have to wait another 10 years to run Western States, but maybe not.
I want a raffle spot at the runner check-in up in Squaw, but my one of my crew members, Carolyn Lake, and she, I run with her and her husband, Rodney's, who paced me, and she's been trying to get in for 7 years. So I gifted her that raffle ticket, and I'm thinking that might've been some good karma to get to the finish with like 385 seconds to spare.
Right.
So next year it's going to be Carolyn's year and I'll be out there for her. So
nice.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh yeah. Thank you so much.
Wow. An hour full of stories. We love this so much. Thank you. And congratulations to all the volunteers who spent money to be at aid stations or took time off work. All the crew, all the pacers, all the runners who started. And I have changed the way I've thought about Western States. And in talking about the starters of Western States, not everyone makes it to the finish line, but everyone starts. And that alone is a huge accomplishment. So regardless of how your journey went that day, we are so proud of you. We can't wait to see you on the trails. If you're new to our show, check us out. We're on Facebook, The Mile 99 Interview. We're on Instagram. We share a lot on Instagram and a lot of our community stuff comes from that. It's at The Mile 99 Interview. Again, we have one-time contributions that help us so much, continue to give back to the community. And we have our Patreon. And you noticed during the show that we had a sponsor. This is a sponsored show by BetterHelp. And we want our community members to know and be really confident that we are not in this to make a lot of money. All our sponsors are something that either one, two, or all three of us really stand behind. We're never going to solicit anything to our community that we don't stand behind or don't think that is reflects our values to the community. So we want to make sure that you guys know that. We thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. And we will see you guys all on the trails. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.